The days of October continue to turn into the past, and therefore that means the veil between the living and the spiritual realm is thinning. Very soon, the veil will have been completely lifted and you will be face to face with the spiritual world. Are you witnessing things you cannot explain? Are things happening to you that you just do not understand? Don't be afraid. By listening to this show, you have opened your mind to the fact that the paranormal world exists. And because of that, you now, every October, are going to see things and feel things and experience things that you normally wouldn't experience. There is no need to be afraid. In fact, this can be a joyous experience. You are now in tune to another realm. A realm you had no idea existed. So now I want you to sit back, relax, and open that mind as the Paranormal Patriot goes into another show during the month of October, which is the Paranormal Month. You are now listening to one of the fastest growing paranormal podcasts out in podcast land. I am your host, as I am every single week. My name is Tom Velasquez, and I want to thank you for joining me this week. Now, before I begin the show this week, I want to take a quick second and say, hey, you may have noticed the quality, the audio quality is kind of a little bit lower than it normally is. That is because next week, the 26th of October, we are having our annual huge Halloween party. And during that Halloween party, I DJ. We have over 100 people come to our house, and I turn my garage into a huge club, and I get the tunes cranking. Well, some of the podcasting equipment I use, I have a mix board that I use for podcasting, but I also use that for DJing, so that is already set up, staged, ready to go. So I am using my original, my Mysteries of Michigan podcasting equipment. So if there's a little bit of lacking of the audio quality, that is why, but I hope it doesn't take away from what you're going to hear on this week's show. I also want to give a huge, and I mean a huge, thank you to Podbean.com. Podbean.com is my source, is my host. In other words, when I record this show, I send it to Podbean and they send it throughout the world. Well, I received an email yesterday that they did a blog for podcasts that you need to listen to during the Halloween season. And lo and behold, humble little me was selected. Out of the thousands of paranormal podcasts out there, there were 21 that they selected and they wanted to feature. And lo and behold, the Paranormal Patriot was on that list. I think I'm number 12 on the list. I don't think they're in any specific order. But to be on that list is, I'm very humbled and I'm very gracious. Don't think that I don't know that it's because you, my listeners, have put me in this situation. Over the last couple months, this show has done better than it ever has. It is outperforming some of the very big paranormal podcasts out there. You know, the Paranormal Podcast, Ghost Stories out there. Those are big podcasts, and the Paranormal Patriot is jumping right up with them. The number of followers, the number of listens every week. Some of these shows that we are keeping pace with, and I say we because we are a community. We are a family here in my eyes at the Paranormal Patriot. This has been a 7-year labor of love that is now really, and I mean really, starting to get some tread and gain its footing, and we're ready to jump. And Podbean noticed that, and they're featuring this podcast as one of the best podcasts to listen to during the Halloween season. That is huge. That is extremely huge, and I owe it to my listeners. So from the bottom of my heart, thank you. Thank you for sharing. Thank you for listening. Thank you for talking about the show. Without you, this all wouldn't be possible. So again, thank you so much for putting me in the position to where I can get behind this mic and tell you this show is growing by leaps and bounds. I can't do it all by myself. I won't do it all by myself. I need my listeners. And you're there. So thank you. Give yourself a round of applause because you are part of that feature. So thank you, Podbean. Thank you to all my listeners. Humbled and gracious I am. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Go to the Podbean app if you haven't if you don't have the Podbean app, download it. We're right in the scary stories section, and just share the living daylights out of that. Thank you so much for everything you guys have done for me. I couldn't do this without you, so thank you. Now, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'm going to tell you about, it's not necessarily a quote-unquote Halloween encounter, but it's a paranormal encounter that I myself had this past week. Plus, I had a listener send me an email about last week's show. And last week's show, if you didn't listen to it, was the Halloween memories. This person wanted to tell me about their Halloween memories from the 1950s. And let me tell you, this is exactly what I would think Halloween in the 50s would be. So sit back, relax, open that mind. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to hear about my paranormal encounter, as well as what it was like growing up in the innocent time of the 50s during Halloween. You are listening to the Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I will be right back. Sicknesses of our true pain. How do we coexist with all the same? Witnesses in turn, they say. We are all accused of passing the blame. You promised a world that's free of hate. Love is hiding deep instead. But be criticized. Just take one look at yourself and make a play. We all eat from the same mistake. Happy education.
Michigan. Just one of those places where history follows you everywhere you go. If you're one of those people that has questions about the paranormal, the 3rd annual Mid-Michigan Paranormal Convention has answers for you. Sunday, November 3rd, 2019, from 9 to 6 at the Grand Ballroom at the Holiday Inn in Flint, Michigan. The 3rd annual Mid-Michigan Paranormal Convention has topics that are no longer taboo. Ghosts, Bigfoot, haunted objects, aliens, demons, Ouija boards. There will be psychic readings, tarot, mediums, private seances, gallery readings. There will be all-day speakers and presentations. There are prizes, giveaways, and so much more. There will be no Hollywood glitz and glamour here, folks. The presenters come from all over the country to Mid-Michigan to deliver up-to-date research, raw data, discuss scientific studies, give audio and video evidence, and offer hands-on psychic galleries and share their experience from all over the world. And if your spine starts to tingle, you can head over to the Haunted Halls and Magical Marketplace, where 60-plus vendors of oddities, curiosities, haunted items, spiritual supplies, sage, crystals, psychics, tarot readers, mediums, authors, paranormal investigators, radio personalities, artists, and more display their wares and share their stories. Sunday, November 3rd, 2019, from 9 to 6 at the Grand Ballroom at the Holiday Inn at the Gateway Center in Flint, Michigan. Join me, the Paranormal Patriot, for the third annual Mid-Michigan Paranormal Convention. And when you get there, tell them the Paranormal Patriot sent you. Alright, before we get into the show, I wanted to talk to you about my paranormal encounter this past week. It happened on the morning of Wednesday, October 16th. Now, Wednesday, October 16th in Michigan, especially mid-Michigan, was bone-chillingly cold. Every morning, what happens is about 6:50, my kids and I go out and we stand out by the driveway and wait for them to get on the bus. We talk. Well, today, that particular day, October 16th, it was bone-chillingly cold. There was frost on the grass, and my windows were frozen over, and I refused to scrape my windows in October. So what I did is I started my car and waited for the bus with them. So we were talking, no big deal. The bus came, and as I do every day, as I get a hug and a kiss from them, and they load the bus, I throw my phone on the passenger front seat, and I turn around, and I wave goodbye to them. Well, the bus drove away. And as I'm ready to get into the car, I look, something drew my attention to the sky to the west of me, which was facing the bus. And I looked and I'm like, wow, that's weird. I have never seen those two stars before. And what it is it was two bright points of light in the sky that were pretty close to each other. And I'm like, I'm looking at them and I'm thinking, no, those can't be stars. And as I'm thinking this, they started to rise up. Now, keep in mind that when I saw them, they were maybe at a 30 to 35 degree angle to the horizon. I won't say just above the roof lines, but a little bit above the roof lines. And then they started to rise up to 45 to 50 to 60 degrees. And I'm like, that's odd. They're doing that simultaneously. It's not like one's going up and the other's following. When one went, the other went, and they kept the same distance apart. Now, when I say they were close, I'm not saying they were close like airplanes or helicopter lights. They were close as in, like, you've got a plane over here and a plane over here. They kept going up straight at the same speed, and they kept the same distance apart, and were going up at the same time, the same amount of speed. And then all of a sudden, they really started going fast, and then boom, right in front of my eyes, they were gone. Now, keep in mind, the reason that I thought they were stars is because that morning, and that's part of the reason why it was so cold, was completely clear. There were no clouds in the sky. So these lights, these points of light, were not obscured by the cloud cover because there was none. These lights literally turned off. And when I say turned off, it's not like one dimmed and then the other dimmed. They literally, it's like somebody flicked the switch and they both went out at the same time. I don't know what they were. As far as I'm concerned, they were UFOs because I could not identify them. I've seen a singular strange light that I think is a UFO before. I have never, and this is why I was so excited about this, I've never seen two separate points of light doing the exact same thing at the exact same time. They were not drones. I'm telling you, they're not drones. They were a distance away. But the fact that how quickly they started to go up and then boom, they're gone. It was eerie, but uplifting. I was excited. I was shaking on the way to work. I was so excited. Nobody else seemed to see them. I asked all three of my kids, hey, did you see those UFOs that were in the sky as you were riding the bus? Yeah, whatever, Dad. I know what I saw. So if anybody in Michigan, mid-Michigan area, saw something similar, let me know. I would be more than happy to talk to you about it. But now enough about me. This past week, we had a show about Halloween memories, and it was my listeners' account of what they remember Halloween was like for them. I posted that show. It did very, very well. One of my most popular shows. People love the nostalgia. And I want to continue that because I received an email from a listener. That listener is in Iowa. And she says, her name is Carol. She says, Tom, I absolutely loved the show about the Halloween memories. Not so much because they were my Halloween memories, but I remember my kids and my grandkids' memories of those Halloweens as they were growing up. But what I wanted to do is I wanted to give you my recollection of Halloween when I was growing up, because I grew up in the 1950s. Now, where I grew up was very what a lot of people call country. It was in Iowa. There was a mile stretch where there were four houses, and after that, both ways, there was nothing. So we got to know those people in that mile stretch pretty well because they were the only people we really had contact with other than school kids who may have lived 10 to 20 miles away. You see, Tom, in those days, you just didn't get into the car and go to your friend's house. Your friends were your family and any neighbors that were by you. Well, what I remember most about growing up in the 1950s, I was born in 1943. So I spent a lot of my younger and teenage years in the 50s. And every Halloween, I looked forward to it. Now, while everybody talks about their experiences trick-or-treating, I didn't have those experiences because, again, you didn't get into your car and you didn't go to a neighborhood and trick-or-treat. You did what you had around you. And what we did is every year we would rotate those four houses and we would have the families and the kids come over to that house and we would have the most memorable Halloween parties ever. We would all dress up. I would dress up, my parents would dress up, my brothers and my sister would dress up, and every other family that came all dressed up. And we had games. We had bobbing for apples. We had pin the tail on the donkey. We would trick or treat, but it wasn't going house to house. It was going around the room, and it was the best thing ever. It was so innocent. Whosever house it was at, we'd go there and we'd have a little dinner. And then the parents would gather around and they would tell us Halloween stories, some of them scary, some of them lighthearted. And then the parents would all stand up and we'd go to each parent's station, as I called it, and we would get candy. And then we'd bob for apples and we'd pop popcorn. And then we would have caramel apples. Oh, how I remember how good the caramel apples were. And then after a while, all the kids would get together and the adults would stay in the house and the kids would go in the backyard into the cornfields and they would play hide and seek on Halloween in the cornfields. It was such a glorious time that today's kids, I don't think, know how much joy there is in Halloween. Today's kids think it's just a day to run around and get candy, but it's not that. There's more to it than that. It's being with your friends. It's being with your neighbors. That is what Halloween is to me. That's what I will remember it as. It was innocent. It was fun. I will never forget Halloween growing up in the 1950s. I really, truly do not think that there will be another time like it. I feel privileged for having grown up in that time. I hope anyone listening that grew up in the 1950s in the country had the same experiences I did. Because if you did, you know what I'm talking about. And if you didn't, well, you don't know what you were missing. I'm sure there are people that lived in the big city at that time that had their own recollections of Halloween that in their eyes are the best thing ever. But there is nothing similar to the love and camaraderie of having a few families in one tight circle that have all their friends together on one special night of the year. I hope you do Christmas memories, because I've got stories on that too. Love the show, Tom. Keep it up. I love the paranormal aspect of it. Yours truly, Carol from Iowa. To me, that is what Halloween is in the 1950s. It's people getting together, bobbing for apples, caramel corn, popcorn, running around and playing. I get that in big cities. My mom and dad grew up in a bigger city. They grew up in Saginaw, Michigan, where they lived in neighborhoods and they went trick-or-treating. And they told me when I was younger about how great it was. And, you know, I'm like, okay, you guys are old. Don't worry about it. You guys have your own thing. I got mine. But for years, it never really changed. Halloween never really changed. Now it has. In my thoughts are the advent of smartphones. Kids are more involved in smartphones and getting on their apps and playing their video games than they are to go out and associate and be around other people. As I said last week, my kids, it's like pulling teeth to get them to go to more than four or five houses. They just don't want to do it. Me, I can't trick-or-treat anymore. So they need to go out to more and more houses. Whether or not they're going to eat that candy or not, they got to get some for me. I can't do it. I'm too cheap to go out to the store and buy it. I'm going to trick-or-treat through them. But the kids don't want to do it nowadays. And that's why I love the memories of Halloween, when kids used to look forward to it and really, really get into it. We just don't do it anymore. It's more of a, it is what it is. It's lost its luster, and I'd love to bring it back. I'm trying to do it with my kids, and it's like pulling teeth. So thank you, Carol from Iowa. That is a great story. Anybody from the 50s that grew up in the country, I hope you can relate. Let me know if you can. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. All right, we're going to take a quick break, very quick break, 30-second break. I'm going to come back, and we're going to talk about the occult and why the occult nowadays is not really the bad thing that it's made out to be. And I may ruffle a couple feathers here, but just hear me out. You know, I think I make some good points. Sit back, relax, and you're really going to need to open your mind on this next segment. Open your mind. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I'll be right back.
Fate is sealed with no cards. Trapped in a room with no walls. I'm going down along with this feeling like. But I wish you, it's all I know. I'm seeking facts, it's still afloat in my heart.
Hey everybody, this is Tom Velasquez, the host of The Paranormal Patriot, which can be heard every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30 on Coming Right Up. Are you intrigued by the paranormal? Do conspiracies excite you? Do you like to talk about ghosts, UFOs, or cryptids, or just politics in general? If so, my show, The Paranormal Patriot, is for you. Tune in every Wednesday from 3:30 to 4:30 on Coming Right Up.
Yeah. Why'd you turn me to a monster? They don't prosper, they just suffer. Eyes on my back, eyes all on my neck. There ain't no remorse, there's no comfort. How come you don't take me serious? How the hell are you not seeing this? You've covered your eyes, put on this disguise. I see all of your attention stage. See these lights all around me.
So, a lot of you have contacted me and said, Tom, I can't believe you're not a Christian. How can you not be a Christian? And I'm not saying I'm not a Christian. I'm just very confused. But I will tell you this. There are a lot of people that I at one point took their opinions very seriously until I realized how much of a hypocrite they are. And those people were all devout in their eyes and in their words, Christians. But their actions didn't show it. So that soured me a little towards Christianity, because Christianity to me lately has been just, hey, I'm a Christian. And that's it. Well, it takes more than just saying you're a Christian to be a Christian. In my eyes, a Christian is a good person who does good for people all the time. I will not use his name, but there is a person that I was very close with, I spent a lot of time around, and would constantly want me to go to his church. And I was going to until I saw his true personality and his true who he was. He would preach to me all the time. And I would watch him walk away and swear and ridicule other people. He's a complete racist. He's a complete pig. And then come back and preach to me about the Word of God. And I finally called him out on it. I said, look, how can you go from preaching the word of God and turn around and in 5 minutes go and talk about how horrible you think black people or Mexican people are? Hey, God didn't make Mexicans or blacks. That was his absolute words to me. How can I go to that person's church? This person is a deacon of that church. How can I do that? I remember I had a very good customer at my old job who was a very devout Christian. She actually goes to Washington, D.C. all the time and prays with Congress, and she prays for the president. And she got wind that I did this paranormal podcast. She thought it was just a political podcast because she's a very conservative woman. And she thought I did this conservative-based podcast. And when she listened to it, it just happened to be a show where I talked about the paranormal. And she made a special trip in to chastise me in front of everybody. She called me out. She says, I listened to your podcast expecting pro-Trump, pro-conservative views, and you talked about the paranormal? Tom, you're the devil. The devil has got a hold of you. You need to break free of the devil's clutches. Are you following the occult? Are you a witch? I looked at her and I just laughed. Are you kidding me? First off, this is not the time or the place to do this at my place of employment. And secondly, who do you think you are? You have no idea who I am outside of work. Do I enjoy the paranormal? Yes. Am I a conservative? Yes. Does that make me a Satanist? Does that mean the devil has its clutches on me? No. But, keep in mind, this was 7-8 years ago. And as a matter of fact, I think it was before I started Mysteries of Michigan. What she said, it kind of struck home with me. And I went and I said, geez, am I? Am I an occultist? So I started doing research on the occult. And what I found was very, very eye-opening, because when she called me an occultist, when she said I am in the clutches of the devil, it kind of made me think, maybe. Because that's what I was brought up to believe. It's kind of like what I talked about last week, what we're conditioned to believe. And I believed that because I was brought up to believe that the occult is evil, it's Satanism. But this was kind of a blessing in disguise, and you can call it God's wake-up call. You can call it whatever you want. You can call it God's wake-up call. You can call it the universe trying to expand and open my mind. But I started to look into the occult because I didn't feel like an occultist. But that's what she called me. She said I was in the clutches of the devil. So I wanted to find out for sure.
I'm a family man. So then I started doing research. And what I found is the word occult has been completely misconstrued over the years. And it's by the Christian religion. The definition, and you can look this up, the definition of occult is knowledge of that which is hidden, secret, or concealed. The simple definition of the word occult is, it just means it's hidden. Now, somewhere in the early part of man's growth, somebody said the occult is demonic, it's satanic. But the word occult is one of the most sacred words that one could use and know. What it means, what it describes, and what it reveals is which God is. And from there, what God's science and thus the science of God itself is. It's the unknown. It's hidden. We have got God's knowledge hidden to us. Now, you can be a conspiracy theorist and you can say this is the church's plan to suppress God's knowledge and all-knowing man and make it as the word occult is evil. Anybody that follows the occult is evil. But if you look at an open letter to humanity by Serge Benhayan, edition 1, page 363, he says, how many of us knew that the word occult was one of the most sacred and divine words? He says, have we not been taught that there is something secret, spooky, hidden, or scary in that word? He says, the dictionary gives us all sorts of weird meanings that have nothing to do with the truth of the word. He then goes on to say, and this is my true statement. I truly believe this. He says, the occult is not evil, nor is it the behavior of those who are driven by the consciousness that is usually found in organized cults. The denigration of the word occult and its implied association with all that is truly not, it is not just careless or accidental. It is a deliberate manipulation through those who do not know and so assume the knowing through and from influenced impulse. The word occult is the culture of God. It is simply the sutra, or the living of God's laws. That is from Serge Benhayan's The Way It Is, edition 2, page 185. Now, in Serge's book, Time, Space, and All of Us, book 1, Time, edition 1, page 407, he says, the moment one chooses to reconnect to their soul, which is simply to feel, listen, and adhere to the wisdom of one's inner heart, where the esoteric resides, the misconceptions, distortions, reinterpretations, delusions, and the lies are all exposed for what they truly are. Plotted contrivances to keep you unaware of who you truly are. It is no wonder the word esoteric, and especially the word occult, have been targeted by such concerted efforts to completely distort their true meaning. The esoteric teaches that you are on a path to return to being a son of God, and that the way to walk along the path is to begin with the fact that you are a son of God, even if it is unfathomable, and allow the path to unfold it to you, whilst the occult shows you all the knowledge, wisdom, and magic that you are and share with God his Son. The true meaning of the word occult is in complete contrast to the grossly erroneous conception, reference, inference, and or direct claim that the word occult is in any way associated with evil or witches, warlocks, black magic, or harm, etc. in any way. The word occult means the culture of God or the way of God. When the true meaning of the word occult is known to many more and eventually by the majority, it will be found why it is so desirable to have it in its bastardized meaning by those who so desire it to the point of insisting that they are right and that there is no other meaning. For them, there is much more to explain once the true meaning is more widely known. And that meaning is, a meaning that unites all by one common truth. Now, in this day and age, in the popular thinking, the word occult is synonymous with that which is evil. A practicing occultist generally is thought of as being strange. They're thought of being solitary. They're thought of being a quote-unquote mystic or a witch. In the quest of esoteric knowledge, the occultist, which is who I am, may engage in a number of activities. That could be decoding occult symbols and ancient spiritual traditions, solving the mysteries and hidden knowledge contained within secret and sacred texts. Those who practice the occult may fashion talismans and amulets to tap into unseen powers. They may use focused mental techniques to tap into other dimensions. They may use ritual magic to open portals or other realms to communicate with other entities such as aliens, angels, or nature spirits. They may use ceremonial magic. They may communicate with spirits or souls of the dead, which is, as a paranormal investigator, you are considered part of the occult. Whether you like it or not, it's the truth. Now, there is one thing that I would like to let you know, that there are some people out there that use the occult for what is called the dark path, I guess. These are people that use magic. These are people that use the occult, the all-knowing knowledge, for their own personal gain, to gain power over others. This is a demonic form of the occult. There are people that use that. Myself, I am just out there trying to gain as much knowledge as I can, because I believe that our knowledge has been suppressed by the ancient church, by people in general that don't want us to know that we are all knowing, that there are things that we are meant to be. We are meant to be all knowing. We are meant to be one with quote-unquote God. Now, who you think God is, that's up to you. But it does not mean that the paranormal investigators that listen to this show are dabbling in the occult. We are seeking knowledge, is what we're doing. And in a way, I think we are more intelligent. And if this hurts somebody's feelings, then so be it. But I think we're more intelligent than those that are so stuck in their ways that think God is the only way, Jesus is the only way. At this point in my life, I am confused. I don't know what I think about God. Because honestly, how would a all-loving God that wants the best for his children, which is us, the human race, why would he give cancer, non-curable cancer, to a 44-year-old woman with 3 kids? That woman is my wife. Why would he do it? Why? What would be the point? And I don't want to hear, well, God knows best. It's in God's plan. No, that's a cop-out. For all of you who listen to that, understand that that's a cop-out, God's plan. That's a Christian's way of saying, I can't answer that. I don't know why he would do that. So this whole thing, and listen, prayer has been instrumental in my wife's treatment. There is no cure for her cancer. She is not going to survive this cancer. But she is doing incredibly well. I mean, she's doing better than I am. I could learn a lot from her. But how would an all-loving God, why would an all-loving God want to give someone like that, who has never done wrong to anybody, who gives to charity, who helps people in need. What is the point of taking my children's mother, my wife, away from me? That is where I'm confused. That is where I just don't know. I grew up being taught that God exists, that Jesus is the Son of God and the Holy Spirit complete the Holy Trinity. At this point, I'm more into knowing the truth. I want to know what the truth is. I want to know, is there a God? And if there isn't a God, where did we come from? Because we were obviously created. Were we created by aliens? Were we created by a God? I'm not a big fan of evolution because evolution states that we grew from a single cell organism into what we are today. But all you have to do is look at the human eye. The intricacies of the human eye make it impossible for evolution to exist. Because in order for evolution to work, we have to survive and evolve. And if the eye, the human eye, didn't immediately exist as it does, we don't see. Or if it was one type of eye and it evolved into another part of an eye that we have now, there comes a point where we are not able to have depth perception. We are not able to see 3D. It's not possible. So to me, evolution doesn't exist. So we had to have been created because our bodies, we're electrical bodies. If you really looked at our bodies, and I'm going to do a show about this pretty soon, probably after Halloween, about what exactly our bodies are. It's incredible. There's no way we evolved. We had to have been created. But now the question is, who created us? Was it God? Was it aliens? Are aliens our God? Are we a chemistry experiment? But back to the occult. Those of us who are searching for knowledge, we know that the word occult has been bastardized, has been ridiculed, and made to be evil over the years. But really, what the occult is looking for answers, is trying to find what is hidden. And I have no qualms, and I will tell anybody that yes, I am an occultist. I follow the occult because I look for what is hidden. I have crystals. I meditate. I have tarot cards. I'm looking to get a crystal ball because there's more to what we have in this life. Our life is not getting up, going to work, going home, and going to bed and doing it all over again just to have 2 days, maybe one day a week off. That is not what life is. That's not why we are on this planet. We are on this planet to grow, to move to another plane, to extend our consciousness. I finally believe I know why I am on this planet. And it's to extend my consciousness. And that is to follow the occult. That doesn't make me a devil worshiper. That doesn't make me a Satanist. That makes me somebody hungry for the truth. And if you are unsure and you are following the truth, You have your crystals. You sage your house. You meditate. You're looking for the purpose in your life. You should be a proud member of the occult. Don't let the word occult scare you. It is designed to make those that search for knowledge search for what is hidden. It is designed to make them look like witches, like warlocks. And when we come back, we're going to learn exactly what a witch and what a warlock truly was and truly is. Because for those of you who are looking and are uncertain of your path in life and think that you need to know more than what you're being taught, I have 9 instances of what it takes to be a witch or a warlock. But what are witches? We're going to find that out on the next segment of The Paranormal Patriot. Sit back, relax, open that mind. You are listening to The Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez, and I will be right back. Halloween in Saginaw, Michigan. It can only mean one thing, and that is a new haunting film. Every year, director Stephen T. Shippey unveils his latest movie to thousands of mid-Michigan residents. The record-breaking premieres have drawn the attention of both local and national media due to its massive success. Each film features the investigation of a haunted Saginaw, Michigan location and the shocking evidence discovered. These shows can be found on Amazon Prime by simply typing in a haunting. It will bring up a series of Saginaw, Michigan locations that are haunted. Stephen T. Shippey and his group of paranormal investigators, the Seekers, will show you evidence of the ghosts that inhabit Old Town Saginaw. Go to Amazon Prime and type in a haunting and find out all about the ghosts of Saginaw, Michigan. And be on the lookout for the newest release, A Haunting on Brockway. Another haunted Saginaw location, brought to you by the Seekers, paranormal investigators, and director Stephen T. Shippey.
Got some feelings, yeah, I'm into you. Oh my god, now what am I gonna do? Sexy, be my baby, be my lover, drive me crazy.
All right, what would Halloween be without witches? We've all seen the symbolization of Halloween witches with their black cats and riding brooms. I came across an article that I wanted to read for you that gives a very brief history of witches, and it's by Susanna Lipscomb. She says, between 1482 and 1782, thousands of people across Europe, most of them women, were accused of witchcraft and subsequently executed. She wants to know, why were so many innocent people suspected of such a crime? She began her article by saying, witches are everywhere. In fairy tales, fantasy, and satires, they appear time and again as a versatile synonym for evil and transgression. But in the late 16th and early 17th centuries, men and women of both high and low status believed in witches' ubiquity in a far more menacing way. Lord Chief Justice Anderson noted in 1602, the land is full of witches in and around all places, not as a symbol of fun, but as a deadly threat to life and the divine order. The large-scale persecution, prosecution, and execution of witches in these centuries was an extraordinary phenomenon. It is also an episode of European history that has spawned many myths and much inaccuracy. Dan Brown's Da Vinci Code is one of the purveyors of such erroneous hype, stating that the church burned at the stake an astounding 5 million women. which would be astounding if true, but the actual numbers are far lower, but still striking. Between 1482 and 1782, 300 years, around 100,000 people across Europe were accused of witchcraft, and some 40 to 50,000 were executed. Now, not all witches were women. Men could be witches too, and those are called warlocks. Across Europe, 70 to 80% of people accused of witchcraft were females. Though the proportion of female witches were higher in certain areas, which were Hungary, Poland, and Essex, England, keep in mind 1 in 5 witches were male across Europe, and in some places, males predominated. In Moscow, male witches outnumbered women 7-3, and in Normandy, they outnumbered women 3-1. Nevertheless, because women were believed to be morally and spiritually weaker than men, they were thought to be particularly vulnerable to diabolic persuasion. Most of those who were accused were poor and elderly. Many were widows, and menopausal and postmenopausal women were disproportionately represented among them. And what they were accused of is witchcraft. Now, witchcraft, again, is just like the occult. Witchcraft is looked at as evil nowadays. But witchcraft is magic. And ladies and gentlemen, magic exists. Have you heard the term mantra? If you wake up and you give yourself a mantra, today's going to be a great day. I'm going to have a great day. Today's going to be a great day. You will have a great day. Because you have set in your mind that today is going to be a great day. Witches have been given a bad rap. Now, witches do not turn people into toads. And from what I understand, witches do not eat children. Those are fairy tales. But keep in mind, witchcraft does exist today. Witchcraft is not evil. Over the course of 7 years doing this show, almost 8, I think I'm coming up on 8 years now, I have come in contact with a lot of witches and people that associate themselves as warlocks, which are men that are witches. Every single one of them are good people. They are not evil, child-eating people. They are in touch with nature. They do incantations. They do, quote-unquote, magic. And ladies and gentlemen, magic exists because the power of words exists. If you tell yourself something, listen, I'm a big believer, and I learned this the hard way. If you keep telling yourself you're a joke, you're nothing, you have nothing to live for, you have no good qualities, your life will revolve around those words. But if you start speaking words that, I'm a good person, I can make a lot of money, your life will turn around. I'm a firm believer because I've lived that. I've been on the bottom of the barrel. And I've changed my life by, call it a mantra. Call it an incantation. But what they are words. And words are influencing your life around you. Be it that you talk to somebody and you come across with an air of confidence now because you're speaking words of confidence. Yeah, I'm a hard worker. Yes, I can make a lot of money. Be it that those people that are hearing those words say, yep, she can, and it changes your whole perspective of life. That may be what witchcraft is. I don't believe that witches are stirring a pot of who God only knows what, bat brains and cow udders and crow eyes in making magic. That's not what witchcraft is. There may be some witches out there that do that. But in my opinion, and for those of you who do, because I know there's a couple of you, I don't think it does anything. We've all seen the movie The Craft. Or if you haven't, you really need to see it because it's a good movie. And it revolves around a bunch of witches in a high school that can say certain things and do certain things, and it comes to fruition. That's what witchcraft, that's what magic is. The word abracadabra, we all know the word, the English word abracadabra. What a lot of us don't know is in Aramaic, the language that Jesus spoke. Did you know that abracadabra means, it's an Aramaic phrase that means I create as I speak. So when somebody says abracadabra, they're basically saying what I say is created. It's a form of the occult. We are all knowing beings if we want to be. But we have to want to be. We have to start digging into things that we don't want to know. And it's tough. We don't want to know about the history of man. The history of man is we are much older than we are being told. We are much more technologically advanced than we are being told. But we don't want to dig into it. We don't want to learn the truth because sometimes it's too painful to learn. Some people can't get over the fact that they have been lied to their whole lives. Thank God I started looking for the truth before my teens. And that's why I'm behind the microphone telling you, I know abracadabra exists. Speak it, and it will come true. That doesn't mean if you say, I'm going to win $1 million, it's going to come true. But if you say, I'm a better person, I'm a hard worker, I have worth, I'm a beautiful person, I can make more money, it will happen. If you continue to say it and you believe it, because you will train your body and you exude confidence, and that exudes on other people. Magic is real. It's not the magic of cutting a woman in half. Magic is real because magic is the spoken word. The occult is nothing to be afraid of. It's nothing to be ashamed of if you are a paranormal investigator, if you are a witch. You could say that I'm a warlock because I give myself those mantras every morning. It was a hard lesson to learn. I was at a job where I was basically berated. You know, I was good when I was doing what they wanted, but when I rebelled because I wasn't getting paid for it, I wasn't paid for doing the service manager's job when I was not the service manager, so I said, I'm done. Then I was berated for it, and I had to find something, and those were words. I'd lay in bed before I'd get up. I'm going to get through today. I'm going to give everything I can. I'm going to be the best person I can be. And then it got to, I'm going to find a better job. I'm going to provide more for my family. And lo and behold, it happened. Words have meaning. Repeated words have even more meaning. Try it. Let me know what happens. Contact me at ghostseeker4@charter.net. Again, ghostseeker4@charter.net. To all my new listeners, thank you for listening to all the listeners that have been listening for years and years and years, thank you for bringing me to this point. I'm very excited about the future of the Paranormal Patriot. I hope you are too. Next week will be the Halloween, the last show before Halloween. I hope you enjoy it. I'm not going to tell you exactly what it's going to be about, but it's going to be fun. You are listening, or you have been listening, to the Paranormal Patriot. My name is Tom Velasquez. I hope you have a great week. We will talk to you next week. Happy Halloween, everybody. Take care.
Only you were here tonight.